Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Well, hello, VBF, Bakersfield. So you guys are the diehards that said, hey, we're not going anywhere in the summer. We are going to stay right here. And we're going to be at church on Wednesday night. So just would you look to your neighbor to your right or to your left or maybe both and said, I'm so glad that you came tonight. Would you just tell them that? You know, you guys have heard me say this before, and it bears repeating on nights like this, because I bet you some of you were struggling to get here tonight. And do you know the time that God has probably got the most amazing word for you is the night that you are struggling on getting to church? And maybe it was a thought of like, I don't know if I want to go, or maybe it was circumstantial where you had a lot of things going on and you're like, I don't know if I can make church tonight, but you showed up anyway. And so let me tell you, showing up is half the battle, and so you're already halfway to your victory just from showing up. Isn't that cool? Hey, quick infomercial. I keep forgetting to highlight our school here. I know it's summer, and I know you guys just got out of school, and you just got your kids settled. Some of you are like, I wish school would already start, but it's only been like a week or two that our kids have been on summer break. I just have to highlight our school that we have here. And I know some of you may be new to our church, and you may not even be aware that we have our own private school here. And I know before Wednesday nights, they do a taco stand out there. They feed. I think even tonight, there is a booth next to where they're feeding people where you can pick up packets about what our school is all about. And I know that some of you are teachers in our public school system, and I applaud you. I commend you. We are behind you 100%. But what I'm not a fan of is how there's some agendas coming through our state capitol that want to completely change how we're teaching our kids, especially in the area of sexuality. And it's coming down the pipe. And I don't want to be one of these guys that just, you know, speaks out fear and like, oh, you know, rescue your kids out of the system. You shouldn't be sending your kid to public school. But I will tell you this, as a parent, you need to be aware of what they are teaching your kids. You need to be very aware. You need to ask a lot of questions. And I know that this was up for passing of a law. It was a bill that was being introduced last month. I have not kept up with it, so it may have already passed. It may have been rejected, but more than likely it passed, where they are going to begin teaching our first and second grade kids sexuality. Now, I don't care what side of the line you are on when it comes to how you feel about sexuality or whatever that is concerned for you, but I will tell you, and I think Susan, one of my friends on Facebook, said it best, let kids be kids. A first and second grader do not need to be educated on their sexuality. They need to just be loved and supported. Can we just all agree, whether you want to send your kid to private school or public school? And I may get some emails. You may feel like, I need to correct him on this. Now, I am not saying I'm an expert by any means whatsoever, and there may be details that I'm not aware about, but I did read most of the bill, and it really was shocking that they want to introduce this kind of curriculum to first and second graders. Now, with that said, if you want to fact check this and later on check this out, I want to tell you, the biggest investment of your lives are your kids. Biggest investment. And I know it costs money. And I know the pushback is, why do we have to pay to send our kids to a private school when we have this public school that, hey, last year we had a great Christian teacher, she went to this church, and it was a great experience. And I love that. But not all the kids are going to have that same experience, and not all the teachers are going to be lined up in their relationship with God. And so there may come a time that you need to seriously think and pray about sending your kids to a private school. Now, I will tell you that I believe, and again, you can fact check me later on this, but I believe we're still the cheapest accredited private school in the whole Bakersfield area. So we're an accredited school. That means that everything that is being taught here has been looked at by multiple organizations that have certified us as a great school. So if the pushback is the education, let me just tell you, I'm proud of my son, graduated Centennial High School, 4.1 GPA. He received the top scholarship that he could receive at California Lutheran University, where he will be attending next year, and in Thousand Oaks. And I will tell you, even though Centennial want to take all the credit, I will tell you that the foundation of where he was academically when he went to Centennial High School was right here, baby, at Valley Schools. It happened right here. So, and I can take kid after kid, and I can take parent after parent, and will tell you that not only academically are your kids going to be really, really well trained up, but the spiritual aspect of our school is probably the most attractive part, and that is we get to pray with your kids, we get to disciple your kids, and we get to get into the Bible with your kids, and it's amazing that you can launch them into even a public high school where they have this foundation that was laid by all of the years that teachers here have poured into your kids' lives. And so I just want to throw that seed of thought out there. If any of you are thinking about where you're going to be sending your kid next year, and perhaps this is just maybe a wake-up call. Maybe God is using me right now to start stirring your heart, and maybe as I'm talking about it, maybe you're kind of getting that little nudge, and it doesn't hurt to investigate. It doesn't hurt to pick up a packet and look at it and start praying with your child and start praying with the extended family and say, man, maybe this is what God is calling us to do. So anytime I talk about the private school, I need to also mention we are fans of homeschool. If you homeschool your kids, hey, we applaud you. We know some of you are called into that, and we are behind you. We want to support you on that. And even if you are in the public school system, you let us know how we can help partner with you even in that space, and we will see what we can do. But I need to get into our Bible study tonight. Infomercial over. Let's get into Psalms, all right? So we've been talking about Psalms. If you are new with us for the last few Wednesday nights, and you may have to endure a couple more, I will be up next week, and we're going to be talking about Psalms again. But we've been in Psalms in our daily readings for like the last 3 months because there's a lot of Psalms in the Bible. There's 150 of them. I mean, there is so many. But here's what I love about the book of Psalms is it's right in the middle of our Bibles. And I love that because a lot of times it's in the middle of our lives that we start kind of getting lost. And if you think about any kind of story or maybe even a movie, it's the middle part that, you know, if the plot isn't really, really well scripted, you can kind of get lost in the middle. And some of you may be in the middle of your life. You may be in the middle of a circumstance, and you may feel like you're getting a little lost. That's why I love the book of Psalms, because it speaks instruction to the middle part of our lives and how to really help recalibrate our lives and refresh our lives. How many of you need a little recalibration tonight? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. All right. Thank you. You had me scared. How many need a little refreshing tonight? Yeah? All right. Well, let me speak to the internet audience. You guys aren't very excited. How many of you need some refreshing tonight? Okay, that's better. It's better. Speaking of our live stream audience, Facebook audience, hey, let us know where you're watching from. We want to get behind you and support you wherever you're watching from. We even had somebody watching from Canada last week, and so you're celebrating your NBA championship. That's all right. We'll come back next year and beat you, all right? Psalm 1, I want to talk about Psalm 1 tonight. And I've talked about Psalm 1 before a few years ago, and Psalm 1 is such a powerful psalm, and I love that the book of Psalms starts with this specific psalm. Now, a lot of the psalms that we read were originally written so that they could be sung. They were songs that people would sing, that King David would write a lot of these lyrics, but they were always to music. And so as we look at Psalm 1 tonight, you need to understand that the intention was, this was a song, and this was, the intention was to sing it. We're not going to sing it tonight, but we're going to read it because I love it. It comes out, and the first thing it talks about is being blessed. And I love this because we are always looking how we can become more blessed. At least I am. I don't sound like you're all humble saying, I don't want to be more blessed. You know, I want to be more blessed. To be blessed means to be satisfied, to be fully content in your circumstances and your surroundings. And so check this out, Psalm 1. Now, we don't know who exactly was the author of Psalm 1. Many scholars believe it was Solomon. They kind of guess that Solomon. Solomon, for those of you that don't know who he was the son of David. And so if it was written by Solomon, it's kind of neat because Psalm 1 kind of comes off like a preface of a book. I don't know if you've ever bought a book, and the first part of the book is the preface or the preface there. It's the first part of the book where you get to kind of find out what the book is all about from the perspective of somebody else that knows the author. And so it would be really fitting if this is Solomon writing and saying, hey, when you get into this book of Psalms, this is what you need to understand as you're thinking about the middle of your story. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. There's that word blessed. Now, Jesus talked about being blessed. Jesus gave this sermon. It was called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the sermon, this famous sermon, you could read his sermon in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where he's giving the sermon on the side of a hill at the Sea of Galilee, and he's talking, and he goes through this series of blessings. In other words, he's saying, hey, inquiring minds want to know, what is the secret of feeling blessed in your life? Jesus knew that the human soul was craving this satisfaction, this contentment. The psalmist here in Psalm 1 is saying, I know the human soul is craving contentment and satisfaction. And so if you want to know the secret of feeling fully alive, let's call being blessed feeling fully alive, then pay attention, because I'm going to give you the ingredients to a blessed life. How many of you understand that there's room in your life for more blessing? There's room for more blessing. And so what the psalmist is doing is he's saying, hey, here are the ingredients to add to your life so that you can experience a blessed life. Or as the kids call it, hashtag blessed, all right? So listen, if you could put verse 1 back up there. He starts with the negative. He says, the first ingredient, the first thing we want to talk about to this hashtag blessed life is what you don't do. things to make sure to avoid in your life. I talked a couple of weeks ago in Psalm 121 about this, that this is the idea of a diet, because he's going to get into the exercise in a moment, but he starts with a diet plan, and anybody that is involved in fitness will tell you that if you want a healthy body, it's more than just exercising. Matter of fact, most nutritionists will say a healthy lifestyle is more about your diet than it is exercise. And a lot of nutritionists will say it's the 80-20 rule, that 80% of being healthy in your body is all about nutrition, all about what you're eating or avoiding eating, and 20% of it is your exercise. So I know you didn't come tonight for a nutrition class, but it bears repeating, because what we see here is the psalmist talking about, hey, if you want to be spiritually healthy, if you want to be blessed, then the first thing we're going to talk about before we get to the exercise is the diet, because diet is more important than the exercise. So we're going to talk about what not to take into your body. If you want to be healthy, if you want your soul to have this satisfaction, then we're going to first talk about what you should avoid eating or consuming and bringing into your spirit. It says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The counsel of the wicked, this would be walking in the counsel of the wicked. This would be like the worldview of just the world. You know, just not looking up, just looking down on the ground and pretending that God doesn't exist. That's the counsel of the wicked. People that just have decided that they want to live separate from God. They don't want God interacting with their life. Matter of fact, they don't even want Christians around their life. They would just rather just put their head down and not even look up or even be reminded that there is a creator that is in charge of their life. That's the counsel of the wicked. So don't be influenced by all of the worldly influences that are around you that have no business of wanting to get connected or close to God. And if you think about worldly influences that don't want to get connected to God, we could dive into that. The biggest thing is media. And a lot of media that is out there has an agenda, and it's not to bring you closer to God. I'll tell you that right now. There is some films, Christian films that are out there specifically to bring you closer to God, but those are far and few between. Most of the media out there, and media includes music, it includes movies, television, you know, Netflix, all of the kinds of things, YouTube channels that are out there are really trying to endorse a worldview that gets you to forget about God. They suck you into their world so that you don't remember that there's a God in heaven at all that is concerned about your life. So don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And it says, don't stand in the path of sinners. This is just coming into this position of your life where you start allowing things into your circle. You just kind of accept it. Now it's not just kind of like walking by. You're kind of standing there in some atmospheres that are influencing you to move your life towards sin. And sin is simply defined as missing God's mark for your life. And in other words, God has a purpose for your life. And what sin does is it enters into your life so that you'll miss the target of where God wants you to land with your life. And there are people that will come into your life that will start influencing you to veer off course. And as a person of God, as a person that is following Jesus, you have this perspective of, I know what God wants for my life. And so you begin starting to unpack that. You start hearing sermons. You start, you know, doing your devotions. And you start getting these glimpses of what God is up to. And you start moving in that direction. And then there are people that have direct connection with you that will be used as conduits to actually pull you off path. Some of you have friends that are in your life that you feel that pull when you get around them. That you're at church, you feel like you just want to conquer the world for Jesus, but then you get around so-and-so, or you get around this other person, and pretty soon, maybe old habits start kind of getting desirable again, and maybe you kind of feel yourself, you know, maybe your language changes, your cravings change. I had friends like that in my life. That, you know, I didn't ever have these cravings to party unless they were there. And somehow my brain connected these friends to partying. And it didn't help that they were always inviting me to parties. That probably had something to do with it now that I think about it. But still, it's like, if you want a healthy spirit, then there are just going to have to be relationships that you have to keep at an arm's distance. Because if you continue to go down with them, they're going to pull you off path. We just did our Bible study in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it talked about don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, or for what fellowship does light have with darkness? If you're single tonight, I know because of all the dating apps, it can get very tempting. As you start looking at how somebody looks and you start maybe looking even at some of the things that they like to do, they enjoy, to kind of start putting a relationship with God down the list of requirements for you to go ahead and at least go out on a date with this person. I've seen this so many times. And you're lonely, you want somebody in your life, and then you find yourself going, well, he's attractive, she's pretty, you know, they like to work out. They like to, you know, go to baseball games. So yeah, I'll try it. And I'm not saying that person is necessarily a bad person, but if they are not following Jesus and you are a follower of Jesus, the Bible, not Pastor Jim, not Pastor Ron, the Bible says, hey, don't go in partnership with them. But I'm going to pray for them. They're going to accept Jesus. I'm gonna win them to the Lord, Pastor. Just give me 3 months. Guess what? In 3 months, you're probably not going to win them to the Lord, but they'll probably win you to their bed. And then what do? It gets very complicated and dicey really quick. That's not even on my notes, so I don't know. If you're single tonight, maybe God is singling you out. Oh, pdooch. Yeah. Okay. Stay with me. And then it says, or sit. Let's go back to that. We're not doing really well. We're still at verse 1. Or sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, we're talking, the scoffers are the ones that are just like, they want nothing to do with God. The idea of God repulses them. They just want nothing to do with him. Now, sitting with people, that's another level of relationship. And so, can you imagine? So you're standing with people that really are veering you off path, but now this idea is there's a progression. Do you see it? First, there's this walking by, and then there's the standing, and now there's the sitting. It's a progression, and if you don't check yourself, if you don't really kind of see what's happening, this world can lull you to sleep, and it just can kind of bring you to this place where all of a sudden things that you said 5 years ago that you would never do, that you would never invite into your life, now you're doing it habitually. But it didn't just start there. You didn't just like make a decision like, you know what, today I'm going to ruin my life. No, it started by you bringing it in, and then standing there entertaining, and then sitting down and fully absorbing the environment that you've placed yourself in. What I'm not preaching is isolation. What this verse is preaching is not isolation. I'm not saying, hey, if the people in your life don't love Jesus, oh, kick them to the curb, man. Just hang around Christians. No, that's not what the Bible talks about. What do we see Jesus do? Jesus was hanging out at the parties. So this isn't preaching, okay, just kick everyone out of your life that isn't a follower of God. But what it's saying is insulate your life so that those environments that you don't like necessarily find yourself sitting in, but that you walk by or that you have to come into, the environment every once in a while, it doesn't influence you. But when you're sitting in the seat of scoffers, those people that really are repulsed by God, their attitudes about life are going to infect you because that's what close friendships do. Jesus didn't ever sit down and become buddy buddies with people that were in the world. He accepted the people in the world, but the people he was buddy buddies with were all people that wanted to devote their entire life to God and to following Jesus. He devoted his life to those people. But he would go to the parties. So I've heard this before, and you probably heard me say this before, but you are the sum of your five closest friends. So think about the people, the five people that you spend the most amount of time with, and that will tell me a story about who you are. Because there are little bits and pieces that you're picking up from each one of those friendships that is shaping who you are. This is why Paul chimes in about this principle in 1 Corinthians. It says, don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. See, the psalmist says the first thing we need to talk about is we need to talk about diet. We need to circle the things that we're bringing into our life because, see, some of you, you're really frustrated about your relationship with God. There's things that you're just like, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Just like some people that they get really frustrated that they're working out really hard and they're going to the gym and they're like, why am I not losing weight? But then you start kind of looking at their lifestyle and it's like, well, you're not losing weight because every night you're going to In-N-Out and you're getting an extra large milkshake. You're eating a Big Mac for dinner. One of the Netflix series that really changed, the documentaries that are Netflix, came out years ago called Super Size Me. Did you guys ever watch that? Where the guy like ate a Big Mac every day and he just like started packing on the pounds and then he took the cheeseburger and he left it out there and compared to like fresh meat and how it started decaying, but the McDonald's burger like 2 months later looked exactly the same, and the flies were like, we're not touching that. Guys, pay attention to the things you're allowing into your life. That may be your biggest vice in moving forward in your relationship that God has for you. Look at your diet. Verse 2, we got to move on. It says, but his delight, this is the blessed person, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, and in his law, in the Lord's instructions, he's meditating on it day and night. So the first part of being blessed is your diet, and now he's saying, here's the exercise. The person that is blessed has this love affair for the instructions of God. What are the instructions of God? Well, it's the Bible. The Bible is God's instruction book. It's how to live life. It's the story of God. It's the story of faith and how to live your life in faith. And somebody told me years ago, and it just stuck with me, that Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. I love that. So the blessed person is somebody that takes the Bible and they're like, I'm meditating on this. I'm thinking about God constantly. If you want to be blessed, it starts with you taking in the instructions of God and meditating, thinking. That's what meditation is, just really thinking about it day and night. It's like the Word of God is constantly filling your thought bubbles. Now, I know we have all kinds of thought bubbles, but the person that is having thought bubbles of the Word of God are people that are living intentionally, putting themselves in the Word of God all the time. And how do you meditate on the Word of God? I mean, is this one of those things that you get into a quiet room and you just kind of like, okay, I'm floating in the air. Now I'm hovering over the Bible. I'm meditating. No, that's not what it's talking about. This is talking about chewing on it, thinking about it. And Pastor Ron gave me this years ago, that meditation is really more like how a cow chews its food. Some of you remember how he's kind of walked us through this before, but you know, a cow, its digestive system is so different than ours. It has to go through four different compartments before the food is fully digested into its system. Versus us, we have one stomach. So in other words, like a cow has like four different stomachs that it's processing the food. So a cow will take some of the food. So let's say, you know, the cow eats some hay. It'll chew on it a little bit, swallow it, and then burp it back up. That's why when you're out in a, you know, looking at cows, I don't know how often you do this, but they're always like moving there. They're always chewing because they're constantly going through the digestion process. I believe there's a digestion process for the Word of God, and you might want to write this down because this has been so helpful for my life personally. This is what changed my life. Here's how we digest the Word of God. This is meditation digestion, okay? First, we read it. We actually open our Bibles and we start reading our Bibles. We start going verse by verse, you know, chapter by chapter, like we do in our daily devotions, and we just start saying, okay, I want to know what the Word of God says. Now, I know some of you that are new to church, your pushback is, I do that, and I don't understand what I'm reading. And this is why I can't emphasize this enough. Get yourself a really good Bible. Because there's all kinds of different Bibles, there's all kinds of different versions, there's all kinds of different study Bibles, and so somebody may be kind, and they may give you this like old King James Bible, and you're like, oh, thank you so much, and then you open it, and it's like, thou sonneth of Goddeth, loveth thee more than you will ever knoweth, and you're going, I don't understand this. It's all this old English language, and it's like, how can I even apply this to my life? I don't even know what it's saying. And so you can get yourself, we study our Bibles using, you might want to write this down, the New American Standard Version. And Pastor Ron has been really good to disciple us to say, this is probably the most accurately translated manuscripts of the Bible that you can get. Scholars will tell you it's even more accurate than the King James, but there's some debate out there about that. But I will tell you it's a lot easier to read than the King James Bible, the New American Standard. However, if that is a little bit too difficult for you, there are other translations that may not give you the actual Greek word or Hebrew word, but will give you the general idea of what the text is saying that might be easier for you to comprehend what it's saying. And versions like the New International Version, the New Living Translation, the Good News Translation, God's Word Translation, these are really good versions that will allow you to maybe understand what the scriptures are saying specifically for your life. Now, study Bible-wise, I believe the best Bible you can get to just really understand what you're reading is a Life Application Bible. Now, these can be bought at Costco sometimes. You can get them on Amazon, Life Application. There's little commentaries that you can read where pastors and scholars have like written down practical ways you can apply these principles to your life that you're reading in the Scripture. So I found it super helpful. But the first step is just read it. Read it. Say, oh, wow. And just pray it. Like, God, give me eyes to see what you're saying to me in this text. Give me ears to hear what you're speaking into my soul through this text. And here's the second, write it down. Journal your Bible studies. I know some of you take college classes or you've taken college classes before. You know, and I know, that retention is so much better when you take notes. I love it sometimes after I preach a sermon, somebody will take a picture and then they'll show the notes of all that they took. And that's good. Actually, it's helpful because studies have been done about this, that you will retain more information of what you're hearing when you write a note about what you just heard. So just the idea of writing down will help your brain retain what you just heard a little bit stronger. So we are big into journaling. One of the best ways you can journal a Bible study is the soap. We know the Word of God washes us clean, right? So soap is you start your journal with S, which is your scripture. The O is your observation, so you're reading the Bible. What do you observe in the text? The A is application. How do you apply this practically to your relationships, to your circumstances, to your difficulties? And the P stands for your prayer. Like, how can I make this a prayer for my life? I've been loving, Pastor Ron's been posting prayers on his Facebook. I love that. But just writing out a prayer is so helpful, but writing it down will help you meditate on it. And here's the third, and this is so important, share it. If God gives you a nugget, if you're reading something, you're like, whoa, man, that smacked me right in the face. Share it. Get a hold of a bro, get a hold of a sister and say, hey, I've got it. Man, God gave me a word this morning and I'm just so excited. I've got to share it. Because when you share it, you're giving yourself another layer of chewing on what you just read. So you read it, you write it, and then you share it. One friend of mine, every day, he will send out 150 texts to all of these guys. And check this out, he does them all individually. Now, I don't know how long this takes him. It may take him a minute to do that. But you know what? Every time he hits copy and paste and send it to each guy, it's helping that get deeper and deeper inside of his soul. That's meditating on the Word of God. I've got to move forward here. Okay? Let's go to verse 3. It says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So this is the blessed guy. He says he's going to be firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. I want to break this down, because here what we see is we see the results. This is what a blessed life looks like. Firmly planted is stability. Streams of water is refreshment. Yields its fruit is being fruitful with your life. Leaf does not wither. That's resilience. I don't know if you guys have that slide, but if you could put that slide up where we break down those four. So meditating on the Word of God, it produces four things for your life. Stability, refreshment, fruitfulness, and resilience. So here's the question. If I were to talk to somebody that's close to you, would they use words like this to describe who you are to me? When they're describing your life, would they use words like, you know, he is stable. She's refreshing. He's fruitful. She's resilient. This is what happens when the Word of God starts really taking a hold of our soul. We start changing. Our life begins looking different. If you're a really unstable person, you start getting stable. God kind of puts you in a place where you have a foundation where the littlest of storms didn't rock you like a little boat in the middle of a hurricane. Like you get firmed up when you have a relationship with God. The little things that happen in your life, you're like, God's got me. I'm okay. This too shall pass, right? You get refreshed where, man, you're not always like Eeyore, man. You're just not always going around going, oh my. No, matter of fact, you're the opposite. You're like, wow, man, I can't believe that God is doing so many cool things in my life and my family and my marriage and my job and my money and my everything. It's awesome. Cue the Lego movie. All right. I guess you guys didn't see that. All right. Let's go back up there for a minute, guys. If you go that slide again, go back to fruitful. So fruitfulness. This is important thing, because what happens is as you start really changing your life starts producing fruit. And we've talked about that before. If you've ever had a fruit tree, you know that a fruit tree that's healthy will start just springing up so much fruit that you can't eat it yourself. And if you don't start sharing it, that fruit goes rotten. So a fruitful life is a life that other people start getting nourished from. They actually seek you out and they say, by being close to you, I feel like I'm a healthier person. That's a fruitful person. And then a resilient life, this is somebody that, you know what? I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. You know, can I tell you something about being fruitful? It says you will have fruit in its season. Sometimes fruit has to go through seasons in order to be produced. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes some time. But let me tell you something. If you don't give up, if you don't stop, your season is going to come and the fruit is going to be harvested in your life if you don't give up. Let me give you that scripture in Galatians. It says this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not, what? Give up. Can you tell your neighbor, can you just whisper to the person sitting next to you, say, don't give up, your fruit is coming. Can you just declare that over their life? I think it's important. Now let's go to the next verse. Now let's go back to verse three. One second. It says, whatever he does, he prospers. That word prosper in the Greek is to advance, to make progress. If you feel stuck tonight, or maybe you even feel like you're going backwards, you need to look at this. Because the person that is meditating on the Word of God is advancing their life. So if you feel stuck, it's probably because you haven't been really good on the spiritual discipline of meditating on the Word of God. Hey, can I just add this? Get into a good Bible study. Find a life group. Find a meeting at Starbucks and say, help me and get this discipline better in my life. Show up early. Like on Thursday mornings, I'm even doing something online. I just did it because I have friends in three different cities and it's hard to meet with people in three different cities. So I just said, I'll do it Facebook Live. I know we do devotions online here too, so we'll help you. I call the one that we do the Thursday 30 because it's a 30-minute Bible study that we do. But I don't have time, guys, to go into the Matthew scripture, so let's just go to verse 4. The wicked are not so. So this is a contrast. So that's the blessed life. This is the wicked life. But they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Can we switch and go to verse 5 and 6? And I just need to finish this. Verse 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The imagery here is wheat and chaff, and I know for us, in our modern day context, we don't know really what this looks like, but John the Baptist even talked about this, the wheat being separated from the chaff, and what they would do in biblical times to harvest the wheat is they would take a threshing floor, let's say like the stage here, and it would be a flat surface, and they would bring the harvest bundles in, and they would lay them on the floor, and then they would bring the cattle in, and then the cattle would stomp all of the harvest. It would stomp it really good. And then they would take this little fork, and they would throw it up, and what would happen is the chaff would separate from the wheat in the crushing process, and the chaff with the wind would blow away, and the wheat, which had substance, would fall back down. So all of the chaff, which is basically like the packaging of the food, the packaging would blow away, and then you would just have the substance. And so the wicked are kind of like the chaff, the psalmist is saying. They have no substance in their life. And so a little bit of wind comes, and they just get blown away. But the people of God, the people that are blessed, the people that are loving the instructions of God, they have substance in their life. So even when the wind comes, man, they don't go anywhere because God has given them an amazing life. He says, don't be like the chaff. So I've got to just end here by saying that life is kind of like a threshing floor, if you think about it. We get stepped on, we get stomped on. Everything that goes wrong in your life is another way that life is just kind of like crushing you. And what it's really doing is it's really showing you what kind of substance your life has. So in the crushing process, if you feel like you're just being carried away and you just can't stand life and you don't know what's going on, you just have nothing to hold on to, then that is an indicator that your life is not rooted in God. That you really know what your life is made out of, not when everything is going right, but when everything is going wrong. That's when you really know what your life is really all about. It's this moment that happens to everybody where tragedy maybe takes place, the plan didn't work out, the money didn't come in, the spouse left, the kids aren't serving God. You will know the substance of your life and the way you respond when things aren't going the way you want them to go. My older brother had a group home for years. He still works with group homes. But he had this one group home for girls, and every once in a while he would bring them over to our house for family functions. And these girls were so amazing. They were like little angels. And I talked to my brother, and I'm like, hey, you know, I know like people find themselves in group homes that are good kids, but you kind of make these girls kind of not sound like really good girls, like they have problems. And he says, Jim, here's the thing. When they have everything they want, they are good. It's when stuff starts happening bad, they don't know how to respond properly. And that's when they start punching holes in the wall or running away or doing things that they shouldn't do, because they just don't know how to respond. And I love that he has such a heart for kids in those spaces, because they need the love of God, because these kids are so broken and come from all of these different lives. But I say that to tell you, some of you are kind of like those group home kids. You're all smiles when everything is going the way you want them to go, but when anything goes wrong, you are like the chaff and you are just being blown away. This is just an indicator, a reality check. We need to know that God wants us to have substance in our lives, and the way we do it is we watch our diet and we exercise by meditating on the Word of God. Pretty simple stuff, but it's enough to change your life. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.